Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hi, I'm Chuck Woolery, and I'm here to talk to you about catheters. Let me tell you why.
If you had to compare yourself with Barry, are you similar? Are you very different? One of the things I found with this character is he couldn't be quite as edgy as the way I played myself on the TV show. That in the way he looks, and there's something about animated movies, or there's something about an audience in a movie theater, that they just...
Negative one. I'm tired of being a walking ashtray.
How are we doing, Brady?
Good.
What's your question?
How much milk do I have to drink to be big enough to be quarterback?
Can I give you a hug? That is a great question. And I love that you're thinking about that. Drink as much milk as your little belly can hold. At all times, drink as much milk as your... Could be chocolate milk. Could be the 2%. But the ideal is the whole milk. That's the ideal. As much as your little belly can hold. Thank you.
Said that music is like fuel, and he was convinced that with the right song on the radio, you could drive an empty tank of gas.
calls if anybody wants to talk to Rocky Erickson.
If you call up, man, and it, you know, don't shoot me through the phone.
No, that was just rhetoric from a movie. Yeah. Don't get personal.
Rocky, what do you think about the Sex Pistols?
Fire a gun in the studio. I'm sorry.
What do you think about the Sex Pistols?
I think the Sex Pistols are pretty groovy. They remind me a lot of Fiorello LaGuardia, you know. Sure. I like the Sex Pistols, you know.
What's your favorite Sex Pistols song? What's your favorite Sex Pistols song?
I'm trying to think right now. I haven't. Let me see. First Sex Pistols song I ever heard?
Yeah.
I guess Hot Cars.
Hot Cars.
That's a good one, yeah.
I still think we should mention again that Rocky Erickson is the guy who founded the 13th floor elevator.
Yeah, I mean, we planned this a long time ago and it was kind of up in the air if we still go, but like we're here. I just turned 21 this year, so I'm here to party, so it's kind of disappointing, but we're just making the most of it. We met these other people in our little Airbnb spot, so we're just hanging out with them and trying to get drunk before everything closes.
I get corona. At the end of the day, I'm not going to let it stop me from partying. You know, I've been waiting. We've been waiting for Miami spring break for a while, about 2 months without the shit playing.
Parade. think about things I want to post. I want to post cool stuff, slick stuff, neat stuff. But most of the stuff I'm going to post is going to be raw stuff like this. This is just who I am.
Stop laughing. It's not fun.
If everyone makes this change or these critical changes and sacrifices now, we will rally together as one nation and we will defeat the virus and we're going to have a big celebration all together.
Please.
Films I'd ever made. No need to look it up. I'll tell you what the article decided they were. The Swarm, The Hand, Water, Beyond the Poseidon Adventure, Ashanti, Blue Ice, On Deadly Ground, Blame It on Rio, Jaws the Revenge, The Island, The Last Witch Hunter, Bullseye, Mr. Destiny, Journey 2, The Mysterious Island, Austin Powers in Goldmember, and Quicksand. Pages and pages of light-hearted guide to Kane's worst howlers. Banter, I think they call it, and mostly I agreed with their choices.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to The Best Show. My name is Tom Sharpling. I am the host of the show. This week, every week, now, until the end of time, is what The Best Show is. And I want to say thank you for listening. And I want to also, I guess, apologize. Lowercase a, apologize that it's not a live show this week. It's Thanksgiving week, and I am dealing with some personal and some work stuff and holiday stuff, and it's all over the place, and I didn't want to miss a show straight up, especially considering the last few months where we didn't have best shows. I want to keep this conversation going. I mean, because the thing between me and you is it's we got a conversation going here. It's not just, sometimes it's slick stuff, but mostly it's raw stuff. No, I feel good about that we are back and doing the show. And I want the consistency and I want the regularity of it because it is important to me. And I appreciate you liking the show and I want to keep doing it so we can all keep liking it. So I figured this is the best way to do something better than skipping a week or whatever would have to get happened, have to get done there.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
So here we are. I wanted to do a show. I appreciate this, and we'll have a live show next week. I have a great guest booked. Be a little surprise. We got all kinds of stuff coming, man. I'm telling you. We got left, right, up, down, every which way. I got stuff planned. We're going to keep doing it, and we're just starting again. It feels kind of exciting to be doing this thing. I've been doing it forever. The best show, and to also have it feel exciting and new, like we're going to go somewhere special and uncharted with it. And that's a big part of what I want to do with this. First things first, anybody in Los Angeles looking to buy a refrigerator, you let me know. Hit me up on Twitter or wherever you can hit me up. You hit me up. I got a nice refrigerator. Give a good deal to a best show listener. 1 year old. You tell me, we'll figure it out. So yeah, so Thanksgiving, it's a weird year for Thanksgiving in a lot of ways when you think about it, that we kind of picture Thanksgiving as being this holiday that comes around when we're going nuts and we're so busy and we're scrambling, and then suddenly there's this holiday that shows up, Thanksgiving, and it kind of hits the pause button, forces you to slow down for a couple days, allows you to reconnect with your family and your friends or whoever you share your world with. And it allows you to appreciate things and do some thinking rather than the go, 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 fast-paced world you live in the rest of the year. But this year, for the last 8 months, whatever, all we've been doing is thinking and contemplating and ruminating and running the world through our minds over and over and thinking and taking it all in. And it's not a whole lot of doing because of the state of the world with the pandemic. There's not much to do. So it's strange to have this holiday that is based on looking at your life and figuring out who is important to and who you want to give thanks to and all of that. It's very strange to suddenly have in this year that holiday take place. And also you can't see anybody. If you want to be safe, you can't. You gotta be smart. So that's an odd thing to think about, the way Thanksgiving was always pass this and hand me that. And I'm saying, man, this year is probably not the worst thing, the silver lining to not have to see some of the relatives and have to hear about why Joe Biden has dementia. And not have to navigate the ugliness of a person you've known your whole life. Seems to have no problem with creeps. And look, Joe Biden's a creep. You don't think I know that? He's a creep. He sucks. But all I'm looking forward to is a day or two where maybe the first thing you're thinking about isn't the president, and maybe you get a piece of your brain back. That's what I'm looking forward to. Just let me navigate the day-to-dayness of it and not have to have it be a constant 4 years of it feeling like that siren from the Addams Family. That's what it feels like. Feels like that's what we've been living in. And also, here's a weird thing. You know, this is ain't no political show, but I can talk about what I want. It's my show. It's mine. I'll talk about it. Here's the thing that fascinates me about Donald Trump. One of the many things that fascinates me. He's so consumed with losers, winning and losing, and who's a winner and who's a loser. He's driven, it drives him. It is a foundational plank in his construction. One of the foundational elements is he's a winner, and he knows who is a winner and who isn't a winner. And winners are, if you're not a winner, you're a loser. He is so attuned to that, but now has to look. And he sees that, like, the people who he knows are winners in life, LeBron James, Lady Gaga, Mick Jagger, Neil Young, whoever you want to say, there's 5,000 of them, and they all hate him. But conversely, the people in his corner, Scott Baio and John Voight, Dean Cain, Kirstie Alley, he knows they're losers by any of his own measurement tools, by his own yardstick. They are losers. What does he do with that? He's now just stuck playing to people he knows are losers. It's this karmic thing that seems to be happening to people. And I know it's cold comfort if somebody's an actual monster. Of course it is cold comfort. But there is some satisfaction. It has to come from the idea that that people like that are so driven by being fancy schmancy people, and then they through their own actions, one of the punishments that does come down is that they cannot do their thing with or for people they respect, and they're stuck with people that you know they don't respect. It's like Louis C.K., where it's like this guy. A few years ago, he's like, oh, I got Paul Simon's doing a theme to my show or whatever it was. They're like, he's on the New York fancy schmancy egghead high society culture thing there. And now look at him. He's playing for people that he would cross the street to get away from. That's his only fan base. And again, it's cold comfort. People gotta face actual consequences, but it's something, and it's fascinating. So yeah, so Thanksgiving. It's a hard year to to think about what you're thankful for, because there's some tracks. It's like, yeah, of course I'm thankful for this person. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for these things. But then there's other times when it's just like, I don't know. Sometimes I'm just like, Thanksgiving, what about your welcomes takings? Is that the opposite? I don't know. It's something I struggle with. Gratitude is something I struggle with, and being thankful, because I am, but sometimes I am just like, I am just figuring myself out, and that's a lot of what the book I wrote, It Never Ends, the book coming soon next year. It's about me figuring myself out and expressing myself and the actions that I got to take control of and so that I can be a happy person. And look, I know your guy gives off the air that I am impervious to everything. Well, I don't think of that off. But I do. I know there's an element of who people think old Tom is. They think old Tom's a crab apple. I know that. But sometimes they think, oh, you throw a rock at old Tom, he can take it. Old Tom can't always take it. And that's some of the stuff I'm figuring out. And that's been one of the things. Look, to be thankful again, I'm thankful I had the experience to write this book, because it helped me understand myself in a lot of ways. And it's funny. We got it. A couple people are checking it out because we're in blurb season right now. I got some pretty sweet feedback. Soon, you will see it all. Now, I am thankful for a lot of people in my life, and thankful for the people in my past and my future and my present. And yeah, and you know what I'm thankful for also? That I still got 2 feet and 2 arms and 2 hands. And I could still do some stuff. I'm in a sweet spot right now. Sweet spot. I never thought in a million years I'd write this dumb book, but I did. Maybe it's time for me to proclaim the next thing I want to achieve. The next mountain I would like to climb. Because it's like I did the thing and I said the book and then I did the book. And there's something beautiful in a way about you say you want to do a thing and you tell people what you want to do. You don't just mutter it under your breath. It's like I remember when Patrick Ewing and when the New York Knicks, Patrick Ewing, all-star center, Hall of Famer, was like, he said, I guarantee we're going to win a championship this year. And they didn't. They didn't win it. And then he got blasted for that. But then his coach, Pat Riley, was like, no, give the guy some credit. He came short. He came up short. But he also didn't just make a prediction in private and stick it in a drawer. He actually said it out loud. He held himself to that standard. So, yeah. I don't know. I think I might have to. I got a couple more up my sleeve before I'm ready to croak. Maybe I got to say what the next thing's going to be that I want to try to achieve. Maybe. We'll see. Maybe next week on the show. Yeah, so I do have a lot of gratitude for a lot of people, a lot of thankfulness. I have a lot of thankfulness that I have this show, which is my favorite thing to do. Best show is my favorite thing to do. I love doing Double Threat. So much fun, me and Julie Klausner. But I've been doing this best show for 20 years, man. And I'm also not interested in the nostalgia part of that, which is kind of an exciting thing. Like, I feel so unsentimental about the past on this show. I have so little nostalgia for so many things on it. I want to go forward. I want to hose the whole bleeping thing down. Scrub it down, start it over. Take the best parts of the past, throw out the ones that don't work, throw some new parts in there. Let's go somewhere else. I know I got another gear on this thing. I'm cautiously optimistic about going forward. I feel good about it. You want it to be good. I want it to be good. It haunts me. Haunts me. I don't want to do some bad show. I hear these podcasts every once in a while. Yikes. Not so hot sometimes. But you know what? Why did I say, you know what? I don't know. Doing a little challenge. I'll say it again. You know what? What? It's very easy to end up there. Start easing your foot off the gas. That's when you end up being terrible before you know it. So I got a thing I saw that there's a fun. We all like sports, right? Who doesn't like sports? Well, there's a fun little sports competition coming up that is looks like a real hoot and really is just the best that sports has to offer when you see that YouTube superstar Jake Paul is going to have a boxing match against who? That's right. The former Knicks guard and slam dunk champion Nate Robinson. Boy, oh boy, I wonder who I'm going to root for in that one. I could not want Nate. I hope Nate Robinson knocks his block off to where it literally rolls across the whatever it is. Is it boxing or... Yeah, I guess it's boxing. I hate boxing so much. I think boxing blows. And then people are like, it's the science of it. Oh, no, I know there's a skill to it. I'm not saying you just go in there and just start throwing punches blindly. Oh, I know there's a insane amount of training and preparation and skill and talent and all that. I know that. But that said... Don't like it. But Nate Robinson, I tell you, that's the one boxing match I'd watch. Jake Paul, that buffona, the clown, the buffoon, him and his brother Logan, they put both of them in there. I'd like to see Nate Robinson clonk both their heads together. Paul began his fighting career with an amateur win over the brother of is the name DJI, D-E-J-I, brother of British YouTube, SKI. I don't even know what I'm reading here. What? I don't know. Well, I'm just... They fought on the undercard with Jake's older brother, Logan, as part of a YouTube pay-per-view card. Jake won his fight in the fifth round with a technical knockout. After the other dude threw in the towel. He's turned pro, and I am hoping he tastes some mat this weekend. Nate Robinson, you go for it. I loved you as a Nick. I'm going to love you 100 times more. You knock that clown's block off. It's the only boxing I'm interested in when a Paul is... in the mix, apparently. Yeah, so that'll be an exciting thing this weekend. Everybody, you know, you sit back, you eat your turkey on Thursday, then a couple days later you make leftovers and you sit and you watch Jake Paul, the guy, one of the most aggressively talentless people on the planet, drawing air currently, or of all time, for that matter. You get to eat those leftovers, you watch him get his face smushed by former New York Knicks, Nate Robinson. All right, I'm actually not feeling well. I'm a little ill, too. I don't have coronavirus. I'm not Donald Trump Jr. But I have been getting tested. But I'm a little worn out. So all I'm going to say is thank you to everybody who hung in with us this year. It will be worth it. Great show next week coming up. Great guest. Got a couple other guests and surprises and things. I'm adding elements back to the mix. And yeah, we're gonna be cranking real soon. In fact, we already are. Last week's show was so much fun, the Steely Dan show. Thanks to everybody who called and participated in that. And yeah, let me just say happy Thanksgiving, and I'll see you guys at the live show next week. Bye.